Out of my way.
Oi, watch who you're pushing, Governor.
Ah, Sir Henry. Season's greetings to you, sir. We haven't seen you here at the Mausoleum Club for many a week.
Yes, yes, Filch. Did anyone follow me in here?
Are you all right, sir? You look like you'd just seen a
ghetto? Ooh, where?
Sir, are you sure that you're all right?
Yes, yes. Are my companions here?
I think you'll find them in the smoking room, sir, sitting in those deep leather armchairs and looking at the gravel prices.
Good. Thank you, Felt.
Oh, can I take your hat and coat, Sir Henry?
Yes, yes, here you are.
And your scarf?
Yes.
And your watch, sir?
Here you are, Felt. Look, I'm in rather a hurry.
Go right through, sir.
Thank you.
I see pebbles have gone up. Ah, well, Ben, old man. Merry Christmas. Draw up a deep leather armchair.
Thank you. My friends, I need your help.
What is it, old man?
It's this armchair. It'll take five of us to move it.
Yes.
Thank you.
Do you think the bubbles burst on loose chippings, Welvin?
Look here, I haven't the time.
I bought you your usual selection of cakes, Sir Henry. I know how much you like them.
Filch, show me that cake stand.
Eh?
Oh, for a moment I thought it was... No, I have some time yet.
Well, what's the matter, old boy?
It may surprise you to learn that I haven't tasted the fruit of the pastry cook's oven for the last 3 weeks.
But, Welbin, you're always a regular cake demon.
Ha! How ironic. Perhaps I'd better tell you my story.
Oh, good, good. Is it about pebbles?
The Demon Cake Stand of Beastly Chase. A tale from the Mausoleum Club by M.R. James Hendry and Edgar Ian Brown. With Stephen Fry, Ballard Barkley, Royce Mills, Sheila Stiefel, Michael Ripper, and Nick Revel.
My story begins 30 years ago, almost to this very day, in the winter of 1872. It was Christmas, with all that the Yuletide season brings to the London streets. Hot chestnuts crackled over braziers, geese and turkeys jostled together on the poulterers' racks, swimwear was being sold at half price. It was then that I was irresistibly drawn to a display of woodcuts in the window of an antiquarian art dealer. I should explain that I was at the time a young student with an almost unhealthy interest in what our French neighbours are pleased to call les fruits de la pâtisserie.
Is that gravel?
No, cakes.
So it was not then immediately apparent why an ancient woodcut should have held such a fascination for me. But you may be assured, gentlemen, that same evening I was in my lodgings, feverishly tearing the wrapping off my queer purchase.
Oh, looks a mercy, Mr. Welborn. It's right parky out, no mistake.
Mrs. Jays, I thought I left instructions that I was not to be disturbed.
Oh, no, but I brought you some of my freshly baked fondant fancies.
Very good. Oh, delicious.
Oh, what's that you got there?
It's a woblob.
Beg pardon?
A woodcut of Sir Robert de Beastly receiving King Henry VI at Beastly Chase.
Oh, it's a bit mucky, isn't it?
Yes, Mrs. Jays. These stains, could they be blood?
Nah, looks more like jam to me.
Jam? Oh, good heavens, you're right.
It was a jam like no other I had tasted before. It was as if all the strawberries in paradise had been plucked by the angels, boiled up and left to set for 24 hours, then put into those little jars with the greaseproof.
Oh, look, sir. The picture's becoming clearer.
Hmm?
What's that in the background?
Where?
Just move your tongue a bit. Mm. There, it's a cake stand.
A cake stand?
Mrs. Jays was right. It was indeed a medieval cake stand. And maddened by the addictive quality of the jam, all desire for Mrs. Jay's earthly confections left me. I made arrangements to visit Beastly Chase that very week. I was conveyed by train and by the insane hope that I might trace the source of this otherworldly preserve, which I surmised was connected with the mysterious artifact depicted in my woodcut.
Beastly Station, all change.
I approached the station cab with a merry heart. But would that I had shared the coachman's foreboding.
Beastly chase, driver, with all speed.
Oh, I don't want to go there, sir.
But turn back, sir.
I ain't going anywhere near Beastly Chase, sir.
Oh, why not?
Because I'm on my way home, sir.
There was nothing for it but to press into employment those two pedal extremities of my nether limbs, or, as our Roman forebears put it, to ambulare.
Huh?
And Beastly Chase was in sight, and I decided to leave the gravel path and cut across the graveyard of Beastly Priory.
How much did the gravel cost, Welburn?
However, I had not gone more than a few paces before I was stopped dead in my tracks. It was the vicar.
Good afternoon, Padre.
Hello there.
Is this Beastly Chase?
That's right. Yeah. Well, here's Lord Beastly now. Cheerio!
Mr. Wellborn?
Yes.
Lord Beastly, I see you've met the Reverend Paget.
Yes, Quirko.
Outstanding mimic, though. Did he do the charge of the Light Brigade?
No.
You see, he maintains that religion isn't just stuffy prayers and catechism. God likes a bit of fun, too.
Yes. Now, about the kickstand.
Yes, the kickstand. Have you got the woodcut?
Yes, in this packet.
Good man. Quelch here will show you to your room.
Can I take your coat, sir?
Yes.
Your cigarette case.
Here you are.
Your cufflinks.
After I had made my ablutions, I received instructions from Lord Beastly to bring in the woodcut in half an hour in the library.
Next. These are overdue. That'll be 3 halfpence, please.
I found him perusing an ancient tome which he seemed anxious to conceal from my gaze. It was a history of the Beastly family, wherein I read of Sir Robert de Beastly, who had all the attributes of a goodly knight, stout in arms, learned in the arts, and able to prepare a lemon syllabub in less time than it took to recatch a Calais. It was rumoured, however, that his culinary skill resulted from an unholy compact with the demon whose name was Felkoth. The story went that he kept his confections fresh using a satanic cake stand, and by this method imparted a blissful and supernatural flavour to all his cakes. It brought him great riches, until one Yuletide, Sir Robert disappeared, and with him, the cake stand. It was clear to me then that whoever discovered this artifact would be the master of untold wealth. As I closed the book, I lifted my gaze and saw Lord Beastly give the woodcut more than a casual degree of attention. He was licking it.
Lord Beastly, what's the matter?
It suddenly tastes evil, like the devil's earwax, or perhaps artificial cream.
Let me see. How queer.
It was apparent that his lordship's salivatory linguations had uncovered more of the depiction than was visible heretofore, and I suddenly noticed a new feature of which Lord Beastly was evidently not aware.
More of this tomorrow. I have to, I'm quite sleepy, actually. Good night.
How fortunate, I thought then, that his lordship had decided to retire at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. For, in the picture, I had descried a window giving onto a graveyard, and, following the line of the cake stand vertically upward, I found it intersected with a particularly distinctive tombstone, shaped like a meringue surmounted by a single cherry. Would that I had been blind that day. Seized by a rapture beyond my experience, I reached into my pocket, pulled out my gentleman's folding shovel, and, marching into the winter darkness, I made my way into the graveyard of Beastly Priory. Soon I was aware of another presence. My blood froze as a dark apparition emerged from the gloom.
Hi, who's there?
Blast. Just Lord Beastly, taking the night air, what?
With a pickaxe?
Yes, with a pickaxe. The fog's very thick.
Indeed, though I prefer to use a shovel myself.
So I see. Look, Wellborn, there's enough digging for both of us. What say you? We split the fortune two ways.
Or perhaps three, gentlemen?
Vicar!
Correct!
Cuss you, Vicar. What are you doing here?
Just on my way to the constabulary. To report the desecration of a churchyard. However, I would be prepared to turn a blind eye if...
Yes, yes, all right.
Three ways it is.
Done!
In no time at all, we had located the Varangiform sepulchre, and after 2 hours of digging, gentlemen, what do you suppose we found?
Some loose chippings.
No, you did not come near. We discovered a rusty iron ring embedded in a flagstone.
Good heavens! An ancient vault!
Almost at once, there issued a mighty wind from the chamber, carrying with it the odor of 4 centuries of shoe pastry.
Let me pass.
Me first.
Stay back, Wellborn.
Just a minute. Where's the vicar?
He must have slipped past. Vicar, anything down there? I'm going after him.
Wait, there's an inscription on the underside of the stone.
What?
Cave Felcothem, custodem custodi, beware Felcoth, the guardian of the custard.
It's some sort of warning. Vicar! Vicar! This is no time for your childish mimicry.
Vicar!
Vicar!
We gingerly entered the vault. There we found the vicar, sandwiched between 2 meringues in a rich shroud of artificial whipped cream, topped by a generous layer of hundreds and thousands. It was the biggest and most horrible half-holiday treat I had ever laid eyes upon.
Oh, my God.
God had no hand in this. Poor vicar.
Never mind him. There's the cake stand. Replete with my ancestors' sweetmeats. Fresh as the day they were baked. At last, I have the secret of eternal trifle.
Leave it, you fool. Can you not hear? Can you not see? It's Felcoth. He's coming for us. Run!
Then run we did, until we reached the gates of the graveyard, where Lord Beastly hurled the demon cakestand into the oncoming terror.
Oh.
And there the matter would have ended, had I not read in the Times last Christmas of Lord Beastly's unexpected demise. It appeared that he had died in his sleep, until a post-mortem revealed the contents of his lungs. And what do you think they found?
Was it gravel?
No. It was 1.5 quarts of artificial whipped cream. So... it seemed that after 30 years, the terror was still with us. And as summer turned to autumn, and autumn turned to winter, my apprehension increased with the approach of the festive tide and its inevitable cakes.
Some more cakes, gentlemen.
Wait! Felch! What happened to the other cakestand?
Haven't you guessed, sir?
Of course! Felch! Fel! Felcoth! You're...
Where's he off to?
I shall go and see, sir.
What a strange tale.
What a strange...
Yes, why is it that the coachman was at the station if he was on his way home?
Oh, never mind. We'll ask Wellborn when he comes back.
Yes. I see Slate's taken a tumble.
Oh, yes. Shingle's not too healthy either.
That was the Demon Cakestand of Beastly Chase, a tale from the Mausoleum Club, written by M.R. James Hendry and Edgar Ian Brown, with Stephen Fry, Ballard Barkley, Royce Mills, Sheila Stiefel, Michael Ripper and Nick Revel. The producer was Paul Spencer.